Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's November 8th. We're in Malachim Beis, and we have gotten to the King Yehoash, which means we're now going back to discuss a whole bunch of things and loose ends in order to understand what's been happening until now. We've had a watershed event in the destruction of the northern kingdom, the destruction of the southern kingdom, and being saved by a hair's breadth. And now we are going to understand how it all came to be. So our first step, our first stop, is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Tzadi Hei. It's 95a in Sanhedrin. I mentioned this Gemara to you in the past, but only briefly, only in passing, and we did not really discuss it. But now we're going to discuss it at length. Now, the Gemara is a story. It's not an easy story to understand. There are certain aspects of it which are confusing, and we're going to cover part of it, and we will try to explain part of it, but it directly relates to what we've been dealing with until now. You know that Goliath, who David killed way back in Shmuel Aleph, had three brothers. Goliath had three brothers. And one of those brothers was named Yishbi Begov. It's a double name. Yishbi Begov was one of the brothers. All of the other brothers, Goliath and his three brothers, were killed by David and his men. David, of course, represents the legacy of Rus, whereas Goliath and his brothers represent the legacy of Arpa. The Arpa took four steps with her mother-in-law, with Naomi. Because of that, before she turned back, she merited to have four powerful descendants. And they are Goliath and his three brothers. So Yishbi Begov is one of them. Now in Shmuel Beis, in Perek Chafal, chapter 21, Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, he's referred to as Yishbi bin Nov, rather than Begov. Yishbi bin Nov, with a nun. And the Pasuk here tells us that he wanted to kill David, and Avishai ben Sruya helped David, and together they killed Yishbi bin Nov. You remember that Avishai ben Sruya was a great tzaddik who was always there to help David HaMelech. So the Gemara tells us that the reference to Yishbi bin Nov is connecting him to the story of the destruction of Nov, Ir HaKohanim, of Nov, the city of the Kohanim. Now the Gemara tells us that what is this episode of Yishbi bin Nov wanting to kill David and David being saved by Avishai ben Tzeruya? And that together they killed Yishbi bin Nov. And why is he called Yishbi bin Nov instead of Begov in this episode? So the Gemara fills it in. Now there are several midrashim about this story, but we're going to use the version in the Gemara itself. So the Gemara says that we know that back in Shmuel Aleph, when the very terrible episode of the destruction of Nov happened, so we know that David HaMelech was running from Shaul, and he ran to the city of Nov, because David HaMelech had nothing when he was running away, and because he had nothing, he needed help. Particularly, he needed food. David was achzaso bulmus. He had some sort of it could be a blood sugar issue. Whatever it is, he was going to pass out and perhaps die if he did not have anything to eat, and he desperately needed food. So he ran to the city of Nov, and there in Nov, they gave him food. You may recall the food they gave him was the lechem hapanim, the showbread, and they also gave him a weapon, because he didn't have any weapons. They gave him the weapon, the sword of Goliath, that was being stored in Nov, and that's they gave it to David. Now the Kohen Gadol, who was the Kohen Gadol, who was Achimelech, believed that David was on a mission for his father-in-law Shaul, because at this time it wasn't yet known that Shaul was trying to kill David. It wasn't yet known that Shaul believed that David was a traitor. It was still quiet. So Achimelech believed that David was on a secret mission for his father-in-law, and therefore he was helping Shaul, meaning Achimelech was helping Shaul by helping David. Unfortunately, there in Nov at the time was Doeg HaAdomi. So Doeg was there. Doeg was there actually learning Torah. Doeg was a big Talmud Chacham before he ended up losing his chelek in Olam Haba, losing his portion of the world to come. Doeg later tells Shaul that he saw David there, and Shaul therefore calls the Achimelech and the rest of the Kohanim of Nov, and he accuses them of treason for helping David. Achimelech defends himself by saying that he didn't know, he didn't realize that David was really a traitor, but Shaul does not listen to this, and therefore Shaul commands his men to kill the Kohanim. The Kohanim, the men refuse, the men are Avner, who refuses, and others as well, they refuse, and therefore, he tells Doeg that he should do it, and Doeg kills the Kohanim. And not only that, they kill the entire city of Nov, the women, the children, the animals. They wipe out the city of Nov. And the only one who escaped is Evyasar, the son of Achimelech. And he runs away. Now, when he gets to David, he runs to David. David says the following. This is in Shmuel Aleph, Perachav Beis, chapter 22, Pasuk Chav Beis, verse 22. Vayomer David lev Yasar, Yadati bayomahu, I knew that at that time, on that day, Kisham Doeg HaAdomi, that Doeg was there, Ki Aged Yagil Shaul, that he would certainly tell Shaul. I realized that. I understood that there was a big risk over here. And therefore, he says, Anochi Sabosi, I caused the death of the souls of all the house of your father. And David felt guilty and took responsibility for the destruction of the city of Nov. Now, of course, David didn't do anything. It was Doeg who told the Lashon Hara. It was Shaul who reacted. And then Doeg who actually did the killing. But David considered himself to be partially liable. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Hashem said to David that you are responsible for the destruction of Nov. It is through you that the Kohanim were killed. It is through you that Doeg lost his portion in the world to come. And it is through you that Shaul and his three sons were killed on Har HaGilboa, on the mountain of Gilboa, because of this terrible episode. And therefore Hashem says to David, you need to be punished. And I'm going to give you two options of how to be punished. Now, obviously, David's culpability is very minimal, but we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik im chasidav kichut ha-saira. Hashem is very exacting on the great ones, David especially, and therefore David was taken to task. So he gave him two choices of how he wants to atone for this avera. Now, before I tell you that, I want to point out to you that the destruction of Nov, which is what this entire thing is going to revolve around. Everything we're going to talk about is going to ultimately date back to this destruction of Nov. You have to know that the destruction of Nov was one of the most horrific sins that we ever committed. We, I say we, because when the king does something, it's like the people have done it. And it is one of the most horrific sins. We know that, of course, the Egel Hazav, the golden calf, the Meraglim, the spies, and as national sins, they are the worst two that we committed before entering Eretz Yisrael. This ranks up there as one of the worst sins that we Jews have ever done. The destruction of Nof. It was a city of Kohanim. Kohanim are a special group within the Jewish people. They were committed solely to the service of Hashem. They and their families did nothing but do their holy work, and their entire lives were focused on that. There was nothing else that they did, and they were completely innocent, and they were completely wiped out. So it murdered in cold blood. So it is a terrible, terrible sin, and there has been great retribution because of it. One, of course, is Doeg losing his portion of the world to come, Shaul and his sons being killed. But here, David is going to pay for it as well. So Hashem gives him two choices. One, he says, Hashem tells him, I'll read it to you in the Gemara. Hashem tells him, one choice you have is, Ritzoncha yikalu zarecha, do you prefer that your seed be destroyed, meaning in the future, that your children will be wiped out, or you will be given over into the hands of an enemy? Those are your two choices. So David said that better I should be given over in the hands of an enemy rather than my future, my children, be wiped out. So that's what he chose as the better of the two evils. Mara tells us, we don't know when that conversation took place, but sometime after that, it could have been long after that, David was going to check on some property, and while he was there, there was a deer. The Satan came and appeared like a deer, and David tried to shoot the deer with his arrow, and he missed, which is very unusual for David. David was a great shot, and he missed it. So David tried again, but the deer ran away. So David chased the deer, and he kept chasing the deer, trying to shoot the deer. And the deer led David on a wild goose chase all the way to Eretz Plishtim, to the land of the Plishtim. There, David came in view of Yishbi Benov. Yishbi saw what was David. Yishbi said, this is the man that killed my brother Goliath. And he decided to take revenge for David having killed Goliath. So Yishbi attacked and managed to grab David. David, for all of his power, as strong as he was, as powerful as he was, and as great a warrior as he was, but the four sons of Arpa were equal or greater in power. And Yishbi Benov did manage to overpower David, and now he was going to kill him. Now the question is, how would he kill him? What he chose to do was to bend David in half, like to bend him over, and put him under the olive press. The olive press is this massive, wood that was used to press down on a vat of olives. Now, the way it works in an olive press is that the ground underneath has been beaten down so that it's very, very solid, because if the ground is soft, you can't press anything, because you push down, it's just going to sink into the ground. So the ground is very solid. And then this extremely heavy, massive piece of either timber or whatever it is, or stone, is pushed down onto the vat of olives to crush the olives. So he pushed David down under this thing, and then he proceeded to push down on the olive press. He got up on top of it and pushed down on it in order to crush David. He did hurt David, but he did not kill David, because a nace happened. It was a miracle. And the ground under David became soft. So he pushed David into the ground. So although he wounded David and there was blood, but he did not kill him. So the Gemara tells us that at this time, Avishai ben Tzruya it was Erev Shabbos, and Avishai ben Tzruya was bathing. He was getting ready for Shabbos. And the Gemara tells us that he received a sign from heaven that David was in trouble. There are different versions. One of the versions is that a dove came and began to agitate itself, flapping its wings and making all kinds of noise right in front of Avishai. So Avishai realized that that's unusual, and he knew that the Bnei Yisrael are compared to a dove. And since, as far as he knew, the Jewish people were not in trouble, they were at peace, he understood that it must be that the king, David HaMelech, is in trouble, and therefore, since he represents the people, therefore, symbolically, a dove is agitated. So Avishai immediately ran to David's home. He got dressed and he ran to David's home, and he didn't find David. So he realized David must be gone. Now he needed to find David as quickly as possible. He had no idea where David went. So what he wanted to do was to take the donkey of the king. And he felt that by riding on the donkey of the king, then they would be able to locate David very quickly. Now, whether that was through a natural reason, because he figured that the animal would know how to find its master, or whether he felt that there would be divine intervention using the donkey of the king would be somehow invoke the help from heaven, and then that way they would find the king. But this is what he believed. But he wasn't sure if he was allowed to use the donkey of a king, because the halacha is you're not allowed to ride on the horse of a king, you're not allowed to sit on the throne of the king, you're not allowed to use his scepter, you're not allowed to do that. So he wasn't sure if, when there is a question of pikuach nefashos, a question of life and death, is it permitted to use the objects of the king. Now this is difficult that he had this question, because I think we would all assume that it is permitted, because why shouldn't it be permitted? It's a life and death situation. It's not one of the three cardinal sins. But he wasn't sure. So he ran to the Beis Medrash and asked, and they told him it is permitted. So he jumped on the donkey, and he had what is called Kfitzas HaDerech. Kfitzas HaDerech is, as you know, when a person has to travel a great distance, and the distance becomes shorter. Hashem makes the trip go very quickly. The first example of Kfitzas HaDerech in the Chumash takes place in this coming week's parsha, where Eliezer goes to find a wife for Yitzchak. So it says, Va'avo hayom el ha'ayin, the day he left is the day he arrived at the well to find Rivka. And that's because he had Kfitzas HaDerech, the distance went quickly. The Gemara here in Sanhedrin actually invokes this week's parasha as another example of Kfitzas HaDerech. So Avishai had Kfitzas HaDerech. Again, apparently it's because he used the donkey of the king, that's why he was given Kfitzas HaDerech. And he came upon David. Yish Bibinov saw Avishai coming from a distance. And he got scared, because he knew that David was difficult enough to overpower. Avishai is one of the great strong men of David. And the two of them together, Yish Bibinov was afraid of fighting with them. So he realized he had to kill David quickly. So he took David and threw him up in the air, and then placed his sword, his spear, under David, so David would land on the spear and be killed. Avishai came upon the scene with David in the air, hurtling towards the spear. So Avishai said Hashem's special name and arrested David in midair. And David did not fall further. He remained there in midair. Now here, it's a little difficult to understand why they were able to have a conversation, because Yish Bibinov is right there. But the Gemara says, Avishai asked David, what are you doing here? What's going on? So David told him the story. David told him that Hashem told him that he needs to be punished for his role in the destruction of Nov. And he chose his own demise over his children's demise. So Avishai told him, it's better that your future descendants have difficulty, and you should not have tsar. You should not have difficulty. You made the wrong choice. You should have kicked the can down the road. Should have been not you who have trouble, but rather your descendants. So David said to Avishai, well, if that's what you feel, then help me, because we're going to have to daven to change the din. I've already chosen one, and to change it is going to require more davening. So it's Avishai then davened with David. That's what it means when it says in the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chafal, I was reading to you before, it says, Vayazar lo Avishai ben Tsruya. Avishai ben Tsruya helped him, and they managed to change the din and make it that David would not be destroyed, and instead his descendants would be destroyed. So Avishai said the name of Hashem again, and this time David came down safely with Avishai. They did not feel that they were able to attack and kill Yishbi Benov, they felt that it was they were happy enough to get away without David being killed, and so they turned around and they ran, and Yish B'Minov pursued them, but eventually they stopped and decided to fight with Yishbi Benov. Eventually, as they got into Eretz Yisrael, away from Eretz Plishtim, they stopped. Now, there is one episode which I neglected to mention before, which is as Avishai was running to help David on David's donkey, he passed by Arpa. Arpa was still alive. Just as Rus lived a very long life, Rus lived all the way, as we learned before, all the way till Shlomo HaMelech. She was still there when Shlomo became king. So that's her great, great grandson. Arpa also lived a very long life, and she was still alive at this time. So as he was passing by, Arpa was, it says she was knitting. And when she saw Avishai, she took her knitting implement, whether it was a needle or whether it was a heavy item that was holding the wool, I don't know, it seems like it was a needle, and she threw it at Avishai to try to hurt Avishai. She missed. But she said, young man, bring me back my pelach, bring that back to me, my heavy item. So Avishai picked it up and threw it at her and killed Arpa. This is when Arpa was killed. This is when Arpa ends her life, is with this episode. So when Avishai and David now are running away from Yish B'Minov, and finally they decide to stand their ground, then Avishai says to Yish B'Minov, why don't you go see your mother in the grave? In other words, he informed him that his mother was dead. When Yish B'Minov heard this, he lost his strength. He became weak, meaning that he was despondent. And David and Avishai were able to overpower Yish B'Binov, and they killed him. And that was the end of Yish B'Binov and also of Arpa. The Gemara then goes on to say, so then when did it happen that David's descendants were killed out? If David and Avishai had the din changed, what it was supposed to be that David would be killed, and instead David's descendants would be killed, when does it happen that David's descendants are killed? And the Gemara says the episode we just learned, when Asalia wipes out the rest of the children of Ahaziah's father, Ahaziah's sons, she kills them, and also.
Is he
creating? No. I'll remember. No. Yehoash is the one who survived. Okay, we got it. Ahaziah, thank you. No, Ahaziah is his father, but the one before him. Yehoram. So when all of them were killed out, so that was the fulfillment of this punishment. That's why Yishbi ben Nov is called Yishbi ben Nov, to invoke Nov, that Yishbi was going to kill David because of his role in Nov. But when that doesn't happen, instead, David's descendants are killed out, and they're killed out over here, which means that ultimately the reason why David's descendants were killed out over here by Asalia is because of David's role in the destruction of Nov. The Gemara asks the question, if David's descendants are supposed to be killed out, why does Yehoash survive? As you know, that he is taken away and hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So why should that be by his sister? So why should that be if he was supposed to be killed? His sister or his aunt? Which one? His aunt, I think. Let's make sure we get that straight.
The one married to the
Kongola. The one married to the
Kongola,
yes.
Right. Yes, his aunt.
His aunt. Thank you. His aunt. So why was he saved if David's descendants are supposed to be killed out? So the Gemara answers that just as with Nov, Evyasar got away, one person got away, therefore here too, one person survived, and that is Yehoash. And the Gemara just makes it very dramatic. The Gemara says explicitly, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. Il malay nishtayer Rav Yasar l'Achimelech ben Achituv. Had Rav Yasar not survived as the son of Achimelech ben Achituv, had that been the case, lo nishtayer mizaro shel David saru palat, there would be no descendants left from David at all. Everything would have been wiped out from David. It's only because Rav Yasar survived Nov. That's why David has one survivor, Yehoash. That's what the Gemara says. Now, we see from here that the reason for the destruction dates back to Nov Irak Koinim. So therefore, the whole discussion starts and ends with Nov. That's where we're starting with, and that's where we're going to end with. Nov is the focal point of the entire discussion we're going to have over the next several weeks. And that's number one. Number two is that had there not been a survivor from Nov, then David HaMelech's entire family would have been wiped out, which means that we wouldn't know what would happen with Mashiach. Now, I don't know the answer to the question. What would have happened? Had David HaMelech's family been destroyed, then that's it. Then there's no line. Then there's no Melech HaMashiach. What it might mean, and I shudder to think this, is that had Nov been a total destruction of the Kohanim, then we would have lost the ability for ever having Mashiach. Meaning, there would have to be some other plan that Hashem would have to put in place for ultimately the world coming to its fruition, to its shlemus, rather than through Mashiach. I don't know what that means. And I'm not going to speculate because I don't know.
That's why one was saved.
What?
That's why one was saved.
It could be that's why one was saved. It could be. But it just shows you how bad the Avera of the destruction of Nov was. It was so bad that it would have resulted in the complete eradication of David's line, even though David himself had a very minor role in the whole thing. But that's what would have occurred. So that's the story we have over here. Now, I'm going to address a few points in this story, but I'm not going to address a lot of the story, but I'm going to address a few points. I'm going to address 3 points in the story. Take a question in a minute. I'm going to address 3 points in the story. I want to address number one, what is this discussion of the choice that Hashem gives David? Is it better that David be killed out or that his descendants be killed out? Hashem gives him a choice. If Hashem gives him a choice, it must be that there's merit and demerit to each choice. And for some reason, Hashem is giving David the choice. He makes one choice, and in the end, Avishai tells him to make the other choice, and Avishai helps him to change the din. What is the advantage or disadvantage of each of the two choices? That's number one. Number two, what is this debate over whether you can use the item of the king in the face of pikuach nefashos, in the face of saving somebody's life, especially the king's life? Why would that be a discussion? Shouldn't it be obvious that one should be able to use the king's item to save the king? And third, I'd like to discuss what is up with how Yishbi Benov tries to kill David. If when the Gemara says that he tried to crush him underneath the olive press, I would have assumed the reason why he did that is because he didn't have a weapon with which to kill David. And apparently he couldn't kill him with his bare hands. But you see later that he does have a weapon. He has a spear. So why doesn't he just kill David? Why doesn't he just kill him? If he can put him under the olive press and push down the olive press, if he can throw him up in the air and put the spear underneath, why can't he just stab him? Why does it have to be in this manner? So I want to address that as well. But I want to point out to you that as far as the bigger picture is concerned, you see over here the as I mentioned already, Nov being front and center in this discussion. And also, you see from here the lines of Rus and Arpa continuing on and coming to a head over here. It came to a head once before with David and Goliath, but it comes to a head over here as well. And Arpa is killed. And through that, Yishbi Benov is killed, which means something, there's some sort of closure happening here that did not happen when Goliath was killed. Something else is occurring over here with the destruction of Yishbi Benov and his mother, it's not clear, mother, ancestor, whatever it is, that they're killed as well. The involvement of Rus and Arpa is also going to play a major role in this entire story. So that's something else to keep in mind. Next question.
What are the names of the other two brothers?
That's a good question. That's a good question. We said them once before. Let me see if I can find them quickly. Hold on. Sibchai Hachushasi. Sibchai Samach Beis Chaf Yud. No. Wrong. Sorry. That's the good guy. Saf. Saf is his name. Sibchai Hachushasi was one of David's men who killed Saf. So Saf is the other one. And the other one's name is his name is Madon. Although it says here Ish Madon.
What is the father's name?
Doesn't tell us. It was after the episode with Arpa leaving Nami, she fell spiritually precipitously. And Gemara says that night, then she had a relationship with 100 different men and a dog. So the it seems that the Gemara attributes these powerful men's birth to a multitude and not to one particular father.
They were quadruplets or they were stepfathers or whatever.
Don't know. Wouldn't be surprised if they were quadruplets, but I don't know. Okay.
I'm not familiar
with that.
And that's why they were so big.
There is a Rashi about that in Bereishis, but that not here. Okay. So I want to address these few points that we can right now. So first of all, what is this question of whether David should be punished now or whether his descendants should be punished? So to answer that question, we first have to think about the whole nature of punishment. What is Hashem telling David about being punished over here?
Was it punished or... wiped out, killed.
Okay. Some correction has to be made over here. That's what Hashem is telling David. There's a tikkun, some correction has to be made. David HaMelech's record is sullied by the fact that he was involved in the destruction of Nov. Now again, we have to emphasize over here, we're talking about a very subtle sin because of the level David is on. To imagine that there'll be such destruction only through really a very indirect action on David's part. He needed help. He went to the city of Nov. It was reasonable for him to assume that Shaul would not kill out the city of Nov because they didn't know that David was on the run. They had no idea. But David is nevertheless held accountable. And because of that, you have all this destruction. So Hashem is telling David, there needs to be a tikkun. This destruction of Nov is so bad that even your peripheral involvement needs a very serious kapara, atonement. Now, I'm going to give you a choice. It's either going to be now or later. Either you or your descendants. So, David chooses now, and Avishai ben Tsruya Tzugazun tells him switch it to later. Now, I would have thought that now is better than later, because now David already has children to carry on his line. And if David is killed, it's a terrible thing, but it doesn't end the line of David. Whereas if it's later, then it means wiping out the line of David. But that's not really true, because as we see, there is a survivor because there was a survivor from Nov. So it's reasonable to assume that David knew that would happen, that there'd be a survivor. So therefore, it's not a question of wiping out David's line or not wiping out David's line. It's a question of whether David is going to be punished now or the descendants later. So it seems to me that the debate is as follows. On the one hand, if the punishment happens now and the correction happens now, then the lesson that needs to be learned can happen right away. Evidently, there needed to be a kapar, an atonement, and there needed to be a public one that people would understand was because of all that happened, and those who need to learn from it would learn from it immediately. Because that's what Hashem punishes for. Hashem punishes in order to correct the person and to correct really the world. So that correction, the faster it happens, the better it is. People learn from it. David himself atones for it. And therefore the world is brought closer to Shlemus. It's brought closer to its completion, its fruition, immediately. Better now than later. That's the advantage of a punishment happening more quickly. The disadvantage of a punishment happening more quickly is it gives less time for human beings to correct themselves, which is always better. What Hashem really wants is that we correct ourselves, that we do tshuva and correct ourselves. If you kick the can down the road, then you have the possibility that we will self-correct, that we will do tshuva and do better. And so you have those two sides of it. So David chose the immediate correction. Now, it makes sense. David, as we know, all along, is extremely humble. And David, it would make sense, would want to take personal responsibility for what happened and not have it affect his descendants. So, it would not be surprising to say that David would want to have the correction happen as quickly as possible in order to bring out the kavod of Shamayim as quickly as possible. Let all sins be eradicated, and let whatever the consequences are, I accept it, because Hashem's name has to be niskadosh. There has to be a kiddush Hashem. There has to be sanctifying of God's name, even though it means my personal demise. That's not shocking at all that David would choose that. But on the other hand, if it gets pushed off, then perhaps it won't be necessary. Maybe over time, David and his descendants will make up for the loss of Nov. So Avishai told him, better that it be pushed off in order that you not be destroyed, and that perhaps later there will be a chance to do tshuva for the tikkun will happen through the people themselves. We know that Hashem, one of his Yud Gimel Midos, one of the 13 attributes of Hashem of mercy, is Erech Apayim, slow to anger. That what that means is that Hashem is willing to delay punishment in order to give us a chance to do tshuva. Now you understand, every moment that Hashem delays punishment is a diminishing of his kavod. Because every time you see evil in the world that is not punished, then that flies in the face of the Kedusha of Hashem. It says, it seems to imply that there is no judgment, that there is no reward and punishment, that Hashem doesn't exist, God forbid, that Hashem doesn't care, God forbid. So immediate punishment and immediate reward is a Kedusha Hashem. That's a covered Hashem, as opposed to a Chilul Hashem. Sin that goes unpunished is a Chilul Hashem. It's a defamation of God's name. So David wants the Kiddush Hashem right away. But Avishai says it's better not that way. Better push it off. Now, apparently Avishai is right, and it gets pushed off. They daven and they change the din. Hashem gave the choice to David of whether to have the Kiddush Hashem now or whether to endure the Chilul Hashem now in the hope that it will never be necessary. Because it's a greater Kiddush Hashem if the people themselves correct themselves. So David chose the Kiddush Hashem now through his own demise, but Avishai convinced him to switch the din. By waiting, that means that there is now this cloud over the family of David. And they knew it. It's not like they didn't know. David told his children that there is this din that is sitting over our heads. And it is completely dependent on whether we can correct what was done wrong. So we were a party, or I was a party to the destruction of the Kohanim. It is critical that you, my descendants, strive to correct the sin of Nov. And evidently, the descendants did a good job for a lot of years. But when we get up to our episode with Asalia, and we have the episode of all of the descendants of David HaMelech being swayed away from Hashem towards Achav and towards the Baal. It is at this time that the descendants of David HaMelech are no longer acting in a manner that corrects what happened with Nov. And therefore it gives rise to that din, to that judgment, to now fall upon David's family, and his family is wiped out except for one person, Yehoash, who is saved by whom? By his aunt, who is married to? The Kohen Gadol. It is through the Kohanim that David's family is saved. Since the entire destruction is because of David's indirect involvement in the destruction of the Kohanim, including the Kohen Gadol at the time, it is therefore through the Kohanim, and especially the Kohen Gadol, that David's family is saved. And it is through a marriage between the Kohen Gadol and one of David's great-great-great-great-granddaughters that you have the saving of David's family. Now, I would love to say that with this, that was now the end of the issue with Nov, but it is not. There's still another episode, which we'll get to later in Malachim, Mirtz Hashem, where we will encounter Nov once and for all. The final act in this very sorry story of the destruction of Nov is not here, it's later on. But this is a very significant act in the story of Nov. Whenever David's family is not living up to correcting the Aveira, then they are at risk for what happens with Asalia. And here they are at risk because they're not living up to correcting the Aveira. One of the things we're going to discuss over the coming weeks is in what way were they not living up to correcting the Aveira. In other words, they were behaving in a manner that perpetuated the sin of Nov rather than correct the sin of Nov. And because of that, the destruction happens now. What is the Avishai's debate over whether he can ride the king's donkey to save the king's life? I don't understand. Isn't it a life and death situation? Don't you have to save him? So let's understand, why is it that you're not allowed to use the items of a king? You can't ride his horse, you can't sit on his throne, you can't use his scepter. Why not? Because the honor of the king, and it is treason. That's right, it's treason to do that. Because the king has a status that cannot be compromised. In fact, we have a rule. I've told this to you before. We have a rule. Av shemacha kavodo, kavodo machol. If a parent, a father or a mother, says to their child, you don't have to stand up for me, it's okay. That's fine. You're allowed to be machol in your kavod. You can say, you don't have to. Rav shemacha kavodo, kavodo machol. If a rebbe tells his student, you don't have to stand up for me, I'm machol, I'm kavod. It's okay, you don't have to get up. That's fine. Melech shemacha kavodo, a king, Ein kvodo machol. It's not, there's no mechila there. He cannot instruct people to hold on the kavod. Can't do that. Why? Because it's not him. The position is greater than he himself. There's a position of melech that demands a certain level of kavod, and that cannot be compromised ever. So Avishai was concerned with the following. I may be able to save his life by doing this, but if I'm undermining the very essence of Malchus, of royalty, by doing so, I may save David's life, but I will not save the king, meaning I will have undermined the very position of Malchus, of royalty. And therefore, it's not a question of, can one do an Aveira to save the king's life? Of course you can do an Aveira to save the king's life, except for the three cardinal sins. You can do any Aveira to save a fellow Jew's life. Of course you can. But his issue wasn't saving a life. His issue was the preserving the position of royalty. Because if David here is going to be killed, which will destroy David, So, meaning we won't have him as king anymore, saving him, but losing that authority of royalty will also undermine royalty, and perhaps it's not worth it.
So I don't understand why one time would undermine it permanently. The same way that if a person breaks Shabbos one time to save his life so that he can continue to keep other Shabbos, why isn't it the same thing?
I assume that the pshat is that since David's whole future will then hinge on this undermining of the kingship, of the royalty, then from here on in, it becomes a weaker royalty. I assume that's the answer. In the end, they told him, you do it anyway, which means that you're correct, that it's even though it may diminish the king's position a little bit, it's still worth it, because to preserve a person's life, and particularly the king's life, it is still worth it to do it. But I assume that that was the struggle over there. It's not a question of an Avera, it's a question of undermining the entire position of royalty. Because that's what was going on over here. Hashem is giving David the choice of him being killed or his line being killed, which we're talking about royalty over here. And the very act of saving him by using the king's item might have done the same thing without death. But at any rate, in the end they tell him he should go, and he does, and he saves David. But why does Yishbi Benov have this strange methods of killing David? It makes for a very dramatic story. Mm-hmm. You know, he tries to squash him, then he throws him up in the air, in Hashem's name, he gets stuck in midair. It's very dramatic. But what's it all necessary? So it seems to me that, of course, Yishbi Benov would have killed David however he could. But he was unable to do it in the normal manner. Of course, Yishbi Benov, the first thing he tried to do was cut his throat to stab him. But he couldn't do it. He tried, but he couldn't do it. Why not? Why couldn't he? The answer is because David's liability here is because he indirectly had the city killed. It was an indirect involvement. David did not directly kill Nov, Chas v'Shalom. It was indirect. Therefore, the liability on David is also indirect. It's an indirect liability. Therefore, when Yishbi Benov wants to kill David, and at this time he can kill David until Avishai comes and they change the din, the only way he can do it is in an indirect manner. And Yishbi realizes that. And therefore, he tries a couple of different methods to kill David indirectly. Now, Hashem makes a nes and saves David. Why does Hashem make the nes? David chose to be killed. And yet, the nes happens, and the ground underneath gets soft. Apparently, Hashem wants to empower Avishai to come and empower him to help David change that din to the other way. Even though he gave David the choice, but he allows for the possibility that Avishai will convince David to do the other way. And that's in fact what happens, that Avishai comes and they change the din to the other way. But it's all indirect. Now, if that's the case, that it's indirect here in the story with Yishbi Benov and David and Avishai, then we have to understand with Asalia, is this direct or indirect that the children are all killed out. Here, she kills them. How does she kill them? Remember?
Poison.
She doesn't kill them with a sword. It's a more indirect manner. It's through having them eat something slowly, a slow death, which is a very painful, terrible death. But it is definitely more indirect than what you would have expected, which would be just kill them. You asked, I believe, last time when we discussed the destruction of the children, then why does she have to use this indirect method, especially with the babies? Mm-hmm. But the answer is that it could be, the answer is that David's liability is only through an indirect killing of Nov. Therefore, any retribution has to be indirect. And therefore, we're not going to see a direct killing. It's going to be somehow in an indirect manner. So, we're seeing here a mida keneged mida, a measure for measure that takes place. And we have the picture over here. So what we are coming out with tonight is that everything begins with Nov. And that the destruction that we have over here in Malachim is because of Nov. In what way is it because of Nov? And this we're going to have to drill down further to understand, is that David's family has this cloud hanging over them, that they must, from David and on, live in a manner that corrects the destruction of Nov and does not support the destruction of Nov. And they successfully do so until this time. And it is here in history when David's family, unfortunately, does not act in a manner that corrects the destruction of Nov, but instead acts in a manner that supports the destruction of Nov, and that brings down on David's family this terrible punishment. And they're all killed in an indirect manner, and only one survives, that's Yehoash, and survives through the actions of the Kohen Gadol with one of David's great-granddaughters. So we're going to have to understand further the involvement of Nov, what it means to correct this, the what happened with Nov, and what it means to act in a manner that supports the destruction of Nov. And we also see the clear involvement of Rus and Arpa in this storyline, which is also going to show itself several times as we go through the rest of this discussion. So thus ends part one of our multi-week discussion. Yes?
On the second point,
yeah.
What is said, if anything, about the fact that, you know, Adam HaRishon gave the 70 years, he was given a choice.
Right.
And he gave the 70 years to David.
Good.
And now David has a choice again with his life, but then what does it say if you give up a gift that somebody gave to you?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know the answer. I mean, it would have been because of an action that he did. I mean, it's not that David couldn't lose his life through, let's say, David Chas Hashanah would have done
Averus. But then it's Hashem doing it. It's not David choosing.
Yeah.
Here, David would be choosing to give up something that was gifted to him
That's
by Adam.
That's a good point. I don't know the answer. Good.
There
had to
be other Kohanim, didn't they?
I'm sorry?
Other Kohanim living somewhere?
There were other Kohanim, but Nov was the primary seat of Kohanim. It was, you know, that was where the main, that's where the main people were. I mean, it was a city living completely for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, there was no Beis HaMikdash at the time. At that time, the Mizbeach was in Nov. That's where it was. So they're living like, you know, as if they're living in the old city. You know, that's where they are. They are the Kohanim of the Mizbeach. There were others, but few and far between.
If they had held on to the Mizbeach, could they have been saved? Like they would have been in the time of...
I don't know. It's a good question.
Did he kill everyone himself?
It seems that way. It seems that he did himself. It seems that way.
20,000.
Well, it was 85 Kohanim.
Right, but the whole thing was 20,000 people.
I don't remember what it was, but it was a whole bunch of people.
They had a lot of servants. Too.
It was women and children and everything.
I mean, it seemed like more than one person escaped.
Yeah.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.